In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, a passage you probably know from Vacation Bible School, but you should probably read a lot more than you do. But anyway, Genesis chapter 28, beginning at verse 12. Hear now the word of God. And Jacob had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God." Beth, the house, El, of God. It is none other than God's house. Let us pray. Lord, I praise you and thank you that each week you call us to your house, where your word is proclaimed, where you promise that when two or three are gathered together in your name, you are present, and where at your table we participate in the spiritual reality that defines the very throne room of God. May we each Sunday, like Jacob, say, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God." May we say, as our Savior Christ has taught us, "Surely this is thy kingdom come, already, though not yet in full, but already unfolding. Surely this is thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Lord, may we rejoice to be in your house. May we rejoice to bow down low in your presence and to worship you. And may you draw us ever closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want to begin our summer reflection for today. And it may be a one-part summer reflection, or it may be a two-part summer reflection. I'll let you know as soon as I know something. It'll probably be towards the end of the sermon. If you haven't flipped your sheet of paper over yet, it's going to be a two-part sermon. If not, then it's going to be a one-part sermon. But anyway, we're going to begin our summer reflection today with a question, really a cluster of questions. Have you ever wondered why coming to church makes you feel better? Or why it seems coming to church seems to offer you a reset in the midst of life? Have you ever wondered why, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, there's a longing to be in God's house, and when you are away, something seems to be missing for the rest of the week? Is it just escapism? Is it like the skeptics in the world will tell you? Is it simply delusion or wishful thinking, or is there something more to it than that? Is there a deeper reality at work during Sunday worship that exceeds your mood, your situation, or even your own awareness? Sometimes you really realize what's going on. Other times you're distracted, but nonetheless, it continues on. It worked for you and in you and around you. Is there something more going on every Sunday? Well, to help us answer this, I want us to look at the notion of church as heaven on earth. That's our opening reading. That is, I want to look at the way that corporate worship is literally a proclamation of, now listen to me, a proclamation of and an actual participation in the reality that is already shaping the future, already determining the outcome of all life and creation. And so let's begin. And to do so, what we notice is that over and over again, Scripture defines corporate worship in terms of consummation and final fulfillment. That is, throughout Scripture, corporate worship serves as both a signpost pointing to and a promise that guarantees fulfillment. Corporate worship is not just a circular, going nowhere routine. Okay, this isn't just stagnant. It's just not something to fill your time every week or just to make you feel better. Corporate worship is heading somewhere. And every Sunday is pointing you and telling you where we are heading. And therefore, it's always defined by this notion of completion and this notion of fulfillment. Listen, Notice then from the very beginning, the defining context. The context that defines and explains everything you see from the time you walk through the door of a biblical church to the time you leave. Everything, whether it's the music, whether it's the preaching, whether it's the reading, whatever it might be. The defining context, what greets you at once, what's to be front and center in your eyes, that you go, oh, this is what this is about. The very defining context from the very beginning of the Sabbath, the day of corporate worship, has always been completion, fullness, and rest. And by rest, I don't mean just a break to catch your breath before you get back to it. Rest in the fullness of the biblical term means the completion, the finality, the fulfillment of the task that you've been given. And so from the very beginning, the defining context of the Sabbath has always been completion, fullness, and rest. Listen to Genesis chapter 2:2. And by the seventh day, God completed his work. There's the notion of completing. Of completion, of fulfillment. God completed his work. And so notice when he does this. It doesn't say he completes it on the seventh day. It says by the time we get to the seventh day, God had already completed his work. So just keep that in mind. And so by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done. Thus he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. From the very beginning, this idea of completion, this idea of fulfillment is the basis, is the context, is the reason for corporate worship in the Sabbath. And we see that that's not just because of some one verse in Genesis, just how it worked out. We see that you've been to a Bible study, every single one of you have been to a Bible study where somebody's pointed out that not just the seventh day, but the very number seven is used throughout Scripture as a number of completion. Right? So the sevenfold Spirit of God, God's complete attention, God's complete presence, God's complete commitment, and so on and so on. Not only that, when God commands us to keep the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments, he does so front and center on the basis of this notion of completion and fulfillment. God says, you shall keep the Sabbath day, for you shall labor for 6 days and do all that you have to do, but on the seventh it shall be holy, a rest unto God. And then it gives you the reason. Because God completed his work of creation, heaven and earth, in 6 days, and therefore on the seventh day he rested. Okay? So this has always been front and center, even if we sometimes forget it and make it all about powerful worship experiences or a kiosk out front with donuts. So if your delicate 21st century self needs a snack during the service, you can jump up and go get something delicious. We made it about everything else and we've lost the point. But it's always been, when you walk into the doors of church, it's taking you somewhere and it's telling you where it's taking you. Everything is based on this notion of completion, of fulfillment. This is so important. From the start, God blessed us. God established the Sabbath, the day of corporate worship, to provide us with the essential framework that defines the whole of existence. When you walk in, God is telling you about the world in which you live. The Sabbath is telling you the underlying basic reality, what's most true about the entirety of this creation, whether it's the stars that you need a telescope to see, or the microbes and molecules that you need a special microscope to see, or whether it's the stuff you see on the news or the stuff that you're facing right now today in your own life. God is telling you what is most certainly true about all of that. So you wonder why, when you come to church, you get a reset? Well, here's a pretty big reset. God is bringing you, sinking you back up with the deciding factor and the governing principle of everything that you encounter. The earth is the Lord in all it contains. And that includes the nonsense and the hooey that we each go through every day in our own lives. Okay? He brings you back to his house to remind you what's most true about you and the world you live in. It underscores the fact that creation, your life, my life, the stuff that you see on the news, things going on in the universe, is not some random product of chance that aimlessly moves from one random event to the next. It's not just how it fell out. It's not up to chance. It's not we're in a free fall. You are not in a free fall, however big what you're facing may seem. And God brings you back to church to remind you that creation is not random. It's not a free fall. Rather, creation is fundamentally the work of God. Thus, everything that is from God. Listen to how the entirety of the creation account begins. In fact, notice how the entirety of the Bible begins. Verse 1, chapter 1 of the whole Bible. In the beginning, God. There's your focus. There's the focus and the deciding factor of creation. We don't have to get very far. We don't have to go and get doctorate degrees and all that kind of stuff. It tells us, first one, in the beginning, God. Everything that is, everything that will be, everything that ever has been is from God. And that includes what you see on the news, and that includes what you're facing right now today. But not only that, everything is not only just from God. It's not that God wound it up and let it go. Everything is also for God. That is, it proceeds according to God's plan to the exact fulfillment, to the exact fullness, to the exact completion of God's purpose. Okay? So listen to how the creation account ends. Then God blessed the seventh day, Genesis 2:3. Then God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. What does that mean? He set it apart for himself. So notice right away this framework, what it's telling you, what the Sabbath is meant to remind you. Everything, creation count, begins with God, it proceeds to God, and ends with God. Everything is from God, everything is for God, and everything you encounter at any moment in any area of God's creation is according to God. God is Lord there. And when you come to church, the thing that's to greet you are not snacks. It's not a groovy, great beat talent show being passed off as a worship band. That's fun if you want to do that, you know. Brother Randy up there living his garage band days, 3 chords, 30 minutes, 3 words. That's fun. It's groovy. It gets you on. But that's not what it's about. Everything here, everything that God has prescribed for us to do in church is to remind us of the most true thing about this earth. And everything in this church is reminding you that that is where God is taking you and your life in its very detail. It's a worship service that's heading somewhere. And everything about the service is telling you that. And that's what makes it almost criminal when we well-intended make it about everything else. Okay? It's not about you having a groovy worship experience. Okay? It's about you coming before the God who holds every detail of you and everything you encounter. It's a reset. And that's not just wishful thinking. That's the most real thing about this earth. Okay? So, notice then, everything we have is from God, everything we have is for God, and it's according to God. Notice the point. God blessed us and gave to us the Sabbath, corporate worship, to ground us on the very essence of life, as well as the deciding factor that governs life's outcome. Listen to Exodus 31:16. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath. Now, time out. Notice that nowhere is the Sabbath a mundane, rudimentary task. Okay, so shame on you when you say, y'all get up, we have to go to church. No, 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 no. You could go straight to hell. You get to come to church. Okay? And yes, sometimes coming to church is a sobering experience because we bring our sins and our brokenness. But the good news is you get to repent. God could have left you just as he found you. We get to repent. We get to come because we know that it's messed up. You can't look around this world and go, something's gone bad wrong. And then pretend like it's not, but knowing that it is, we get to come to the one who says, I'll fix it. Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. It's going to cost my son, but I'll fix it. Okay? And so, notice here, we're not coming in drudgery. It's not ho-hum. We're not daydreaming or thinking about the pot roast in the oven or wondering whether, you know, the game's going to come on at 1:35 or 1:45. That's not what we're doing. The attitude is to celebrate.
We get to be here. The God of all creation knows you by name, counts the hairs on your head, and He loves you for eternity. Celebrate.
Okay, so the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations. Again, another time out. Notice that the Sabbath is not something that originated with the Old Testament. You'll hear that from time to time. Oh, we don't need to keep the Sabbath. That's just Old Testament. That's nonsense. Notice this is a perpetual ordinance. It is something throughout all generations. It doesn't find its reason or basis in the Old Testament law. Instead, we just saw it's a creation mandate. That God has woven it into the very fabric of what He created, how He created it, and why He created it. It is what is most true about life, and so it's no surprise to find this reflected in the Old Testament law. But the Old Testament law does not fully satisfy. It doesn't begin or end with the Old Testament law. We shouldn't be surprised then to find it also in the New Testament. What does Jesus say? The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And that's not just that He can say what goes on the Sabbath. You understand that the promise that God has made about creation doesn't end with the arrival of the Messiah. The Messiah is the one who's going to fulfill it and accomplish it. Okay? This is what's most true about life. And so, yes, in the Old Testament law, and yes, in the New Testament. Okay? So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations. Pretty good. I think we're on familiar terms. You're all aware of that, right? Here's the part that you probably missed or may have missed. Listen to this. They shall celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. The Sabbath isn't merely a command. Okay? It's not first and foremost a command. Okay, instead, it is a sacred commitment and promise that God has made to you and about this creation. It is a covenant that it is from Him. This is mine. I will not relinquish it, and no one shall take one of you out of my hands. I am committed eternally to you, and my purpose, my intention for this creation will not be derailed. It will not have to be adjusted. My word does not return to me void without accomplishing exactly what I intended. It will all bow to my plan and my purpose and my lordship. And that is what you're doing every Sunday when you come into the doors of this church. It is God's promise to you. This isn't just Sunday after Sunday. It is going somewhere. And every detail of what you do in church is reminding you of where your Heavenly Father is taking you and His creation. We're looking for a new heavens and a new earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Thy kingdom come on earth. God does not relinquish one aspect of it. He sends His Son to redeem and reclaim it all. It's His. And His plan and His intention is what will prevail. Notice then, there's no surprise then that we see the same notion of fulfillment carried forward in New Testament worship. Remember Easter. Okay, it just dawned on me, this is going to be a two-part sermon. Okay, so we'll have to come back next week. So it's two parts. So cliffhanger, I just figured that out because we won't be able to get through it all. All right, but important. So if we see it in the New Testament. Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, but notice not only that, remember Easter and the resurrection represent the first day of the new creation. Now, that's not just me being poetic or needing some sermon stuff, or gosh, we're going to turn this into a two-part series, so I need to kind of lengthen this out. That's not what's going on. That is exactly the message of Scripture. So, little Bible quiz. What day of the week in the Old Testament was the Sabbath? What day of the week was that?
Saturday,
very good. So what day of the week did God finish creation?
Friday.
Okay, so let's fast forward, please, many thousand years. And on Good Friday, the Elohim of creation hangs on a cross as the Elohim of recreation.
And the very voice that Scripture tells us we've heard speaking throughout the Old Testament, who said, "Let there be light," the voice that we heard saying, "It is complete, it is finished, it is good," is the very same voice on the very same day of the week, Good Friday, who hanging from the cross says about recreation, "It is finished." And then what did God do on Saturday? And they took the Messiah and they laid him to rest in the tomb on Holy Saturday. He came back to reclaim it all. Okay? So,
very real, very literal, the first Sunday, Easter Sunday, Jesus has accomplished the whole of redemption, the whole of salvation, and he brings it with him, the new life, the grace, the accomplishment in full of his Father's purpose. He brings it with him from the empty tomb on Sunday. It's the first sunrise of the rest of eternity. Everything has changed. Okay, so notice then, as such, worship today in New Testament times, worship on the Lord's Day, Sunday, the day of resurrection, the first day of the new creation, underscores the completion of salvation. There's the word complete. It is finished. Okay, and also points ahead to the fullness of God's kingdom and the true and final Sabbath consummation. That Christ has come to accomplish the covenant of the Sabbath. God's purpose for you, me, his people, his creation. He accomplished it. And now it's pointing ahead to what is already done and that God promises us that one day we will see in full. You are already a child of God, though it has not yet appeared in full what you shall be. Ask the person you came with. No, not even close. Okay? And so we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth. But already the plan that has accomplished all that is underway, unfolding in you. Already you are God's child. Already the Holy Spirit fills you. Already God's grace is at work in your heart. And it will not stop. It will not fail. It will not quit until you stand before your Heavenly Father face to face in a new heavens and a new earth. See our picture of Jacob's ladder? Starting to see what it's trying to tell you? That's already happening. That reality is already unfolding. It's worship that's heading somewhere. That already God's grace fills you. Already his Spirit and his presence are with you. Already his plan is determining every detail. It's already happening. And every week when you come to church, God's syncing you up with that. God is reminding you of that. Bottom line, corporate worship in both the Old and New Testament points to and proclaims the fullness of God's plan for his people and his creation. In other words, the promise of fulfillment is the very context, is the very environment in which your corporate worship every Sunday takes place. It's not about drum machines, smoke machines, or Hillsong songs cleverly arranged to manipulate you emotionally. That's not what it's about. It's about where God's taking you. It's about how he will not let you go. It's about what's most true about your life, your situation, and about your future. It's all established. However, that's not all. Corporate worship does not simply point to, proclaim, or promise the fullness of God's kingdom. Oh, yes, it does. That's what greets you when you come through the door. But that's not all that's going on. There's so much more. And if you miss that point, you'll miss a large part of what God intends and what's happening around you every Sunday. But for that, you'll have to wait next week and come back to the Lord's house and see what he is doing every Sunday in every church where his Spirit dwells. Amen?
Amen.